All right, welcome back. And joining us now is Tony Arterburn, and he has Wise Wolf Gold. He also has kindly set up DavidKnight.gold, which will direct you to Tony, let him know that you came through us. But we always like to talk to Tony about what's going on in the markets, especially gold and silver. Tony, earlier I was talking about the move to shut down retail everywhere. I really think all this crime stuff that is happening, as I saw the people that you had these stores in Oakland where it's really bad, they went on a two-hour strike, all these different retailers, just shut down our stores for 2 hours. Maybe we can get the attention of the government, but the government doesn't want that. They've also got signs out there saying, we don't have any cash. There's no cash on board. Leave us alone. And they're robbing people of cash. And I said, you know, all of this chaos that's being pushed by these Soros district attorneys, I think that's got a purpose to it. I think that they are trying to get people afraid to carry anything of value like cash. They want us to shop online. They don't want us to, they want us to be afraid to get out of our houses and go to the store. I think that's what's happening here. I think it's part of the agenda to push us into that cyberspace and out of physical space, don't you?
Absolutely. It's Cloud and Piven, creative destruction. We saw this in the summer of 2020, post George Floyd, and a lot of those coordinated riots, in my opinion, and had people flying all over the country and funded by someone. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the places that were hit, were competitors to Soros. I think you go back and look at that. A lot of places that were burned down, things or things that could be insured. But I think that's exactly what's happening. You've got the perception that it's dangerous to shop. We've got to do everything online. We've got to get back in our homes. And that's what they're pushing in these, especially these Soros-controlled Democrat cities.
Yeah, yeah. And CVS is going to shut down 900 stores. They said they're just having too much theft loss. And I'd like to know how that happens when they're the biggest thieves out there. They're selling drugs that cost $55 generic, and they're selling them for $6,000, and they say they can't keep their stores open, that they're going to only do business online, except for the people who are going to go now. They're going to maintain a physical presence so they can give people shots and do tests on us. Like, wow. Yeah. Just change it for, well, change the V to a D, CDC.
Well, it's also a way to get bailed out in another aspect, you know. Yeah. too big to fail, too big to be in a retail space, and they need to be bailed out because they carry out, the wishes and needs of the ruling order, these multinational corporations. And, you know, that's when you talk about 15-minute cities, or as Trump calls them, freedom cities. There's like, oh, well, you're just a walk away from a pharmacy. Yeah. It's one, right? Mm-hmm. It's one by one company, one entity, and there's only one of anything in there. Mm-hmm. So again, that's just part of the system is taking away choice and making it look like you cannot go anywhere. And again, it's just all part of the fear.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the reasons why these corporations are doing everything they want, because they want to have that concession. They want to be the one vendor of whatever it is that they're selling. And that's going to be the idea, as you point out, with the 15-minute city. There'll be one of this and one of that and one of that. And who are the people going to be that run that? It's going to be the same store in every one of these 15-minute areas. So why do you need to go to a different 15-minute? It's just going to have another CVC there. So just go to the one that's close by to you. There's no difference between these stores. They're all been given this monopoly concession by the government because they do everything that they want them to do. That's really what they're trying to corral us into.
I've always thought it was interesting that the demographics researchers for whatever, the CVS or Walgreens, they're pretty lazy. They just wait for the one guy to put up a corner, and then they'll go to the other corner on the other side. That's usually somebody's following somebody, but I don't know who's actually paying a demographics team or research if they just copy whenever that goes in. And, I think, again, just trying to vie for who is going to be. It's kind of like the banks that right now are competing, and I used the word auditioning last week when I talked to you about who's going to help roll out the central bank digital currency, which was who's going to be the closest to the Fed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're watching right now.
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of auditioning,
especially with the Citi just put out that blockchain token.
Yeah, let's talk about that. But, you know, the thing I talked about yesterday, mentioned it, was the fact that you had J.P. Morgan and you had Bank of America tell Intuit, that runs QuickBooks, don't do business with any gun retailers or gun manufacturers. And so J.P. Morgan, I forget which one, I think it was, well, I can't remember. J.P. Morgan went after, let's say, retailers, and Bank of America went after wholesalers, or it was the other way around. J.P. Morgan admitted it. They're absolutely unashamed about it. And that's what Intuit said, look, we stopped doing business with them, with gun people, retailers and manufacturers, because they told us they were going to shut us off if we didn't do it. Bank of America denied it, but we've already seen Bank of America, turn coats about January the 6th, turning in a list of anybody that made any purchases anywhere around the Washington, D.C. area on January the 6th. And then also giving lists of gun purchases to the FBI. So here, put this together, voluntarily offering that stuff up, according to the FBI. And so we've seen Bank of America do that type of stuff, but JP Morgan is just completely unashamed about it. And this is how they can tighten the screws down on us, even with these subordinate companies like QuickBooks. It truly is amazing how broad this is becoming, and how the banks and financial systems, and whether it's social media companies, how they're all weaponized to control us.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you are with a national bank right now, you need to pause and reflect.
Yeah.
Going into the future, the extension of the government's going to run through the banks. And again, the extension of the government is an extension of the Fed. And this is the implementation of CBDC, the control system. I've had run-ins with these national banks, especially being in the gold and silver business or being in the crypto business. They will crush you. Mm-hmm. And I've had it even in the convenience store business, David. I've had where we had we were depositing money orders that were ours, that were taken from our customers, and Bank of America froze it. We had $25,000 in the account, and they froze it for about 8 weeks. So if you had wow. one store and one, and luckily we had other deposits, and we could float for a while, but that would have bankrupted anybody else. And we had attorneys calling them, everything. They just held it as wow. they can.
Wow.
So I'd much rather deal with a regional or more local bank. Mm-hmm. You may not have all the bells and whistles and the technology, but you get a person usually. Mm-hmm. It used to be that way in Texas, but Texas used to have in their constitution where you had to have every bank had to have its own charter from the state and had to have its own president. I watched that change in the 80s. My dad chartered a bank when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and they broke up Texas banking. And again, when they replace it with these national chains, is lending better? Customer service better? Or does the average person have more access to lending? Absolutely not. And this is something that's the field gets narrower and narrower as the years go by on who can get access to anything when it comes to banking.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when that happened. It was the merger of Nations Bank and Bank of America. Bank of America was in California. Nations Bank was in North Carolina. And they were given that merger, and everybody said, you can't do that. That's going to set off a precedent. It's going to consolidate the banking industry, and this is making big national banks. But it was the Clinton administration that did it, and the guy who was pushing it was somebody who was, I think he was the chief of staff at the White House at the time, Erskine Bowles. But he had always been in the banking industry there in North Carolina. And so they got this thing rammed through, and that's, 10 years later, we had just a handful of banks that were too big to fail. And we've gone, as you point out, from really state-focused and controlled banks to these giant international banks, but certainly national banks. And as we see what was happening with the central bank and the interest rates last week, it's put a lot of fear into the U.S. stock market. This is MarketWatch saying extreme fear has returned to the U.S. stock market. And the investors in the grip of fear for the first time in 6 months, they said, as they looked at the fear and greed index. So what they're fearing is, and this is coming up right in time for the corrections always seem to come in October, don't they, for the stock market, these big disasters. And so now there's extreme greed and fear, and they're all being this is all being talked about in terms of the volatility index. Everybody is concerned about that. And as I look at this stuff bouncing around, as I look at, all these other fads and stuff like NFTs and things, it is interesting to see gold there. You see the value of gold that is changing in terms of the dollar, but is it gold that is volatile or is it the dollar? Is it gold that's volatile or the stock market or the NFTs and all the rest of the stuff? I don't think it's gold. I think it's those other things.
Well, yeah, going October into the fiscal year, October 1929, October 1987 for crashes historically, and there's other examples. But yeah, it really comes down to the psychological aspect of the economy. You have on one side, you've got the mainstream, you know, you got Robert Reich, you got Paul Krugman, all these economists coming out saying this Bidenomics is working. It's the strongest economy ever. I've talked about this on your show. It's Michael Meharry from Shiftgold put out an article on Zero Hedge about, you know, you have the mainstream saying one thing, but Americans aren't buying it. The economy is not in good shape. Mm-hmm. The ability to borrow, the interest rates, inflation, all baked into that system. People are not optimistic, but the market, again, it's kind of schizophrenic. You know, if you've got, you got traders that are fearful of the future, but why isn't gold blowing past 2000? Because gold is usually where people run to, especially traders, when it comes to not looking at the future with a sense of optimism. Mm-hmm. And so, but you also have these other numbers that are saying that everything's great and it's pushing the price of gold down. You know, you looked at Reuters had an article. It's like, well, gold's at a 6-month low because the dollar is strong. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can have a strong dollar when it's not backed by anything. Treasury yields are up and the dollar looks great and economic output, even though rates have been raised at the fastest rate ever by Jerome Powell and the Fed. They're still looking at strong economic data, so they say. So, you put that and you juxtapose that to the Chinese demand for gold is massive and still climbing. Mm-hmm. And I think in July they bought 23 tons of gold, and in August it's 29 tons of gold, and it just keeps adding and going up and up. And these central banks adding gold, so the price of gold. You know, we discussed this too. There's a disparity between the Shanghai exchange and the exchanges in the West. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because our economies, the Western economies, the fiat currency economies, all current economies mostly are fiat, but especially in the West with the dollars of the world's reserve currency status, these are driven by the Wall Street and other markets in London, where there's just so much fake. So it's hard to know what's real. I just know that if you're looking at the big picture, I'm betting against the system. The system itself is something that I think you ask, is it gold that's volatile or is it the dollar? I don't know. I mean, history teaches me that, if you dig up a coin from the Roman era, it's still worth something. Yeah. But the paper dollar has lost 98% of its value since 1913. I don't know. I'm going with gold.
Yeah. And of course, there's other things too, other signs on the horizon, and that is oil. Oil jumped 3.5% on the West Texas Intermediate benchmark thing last week. It's getting close to $100, but they're also looking at it and saying, well, we think this might go to $150. Now, if you see something like that, you know, Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan has been saying, well, we're going to go into stagflation. That's the way you get stagflation. You can shut down the economy with high oil prices and create massive inflation at the same time, because we lived through that with the OPEC shock to the system. But now we've got BOPEC, I guess, the Biden petroleum boycotts that are going out there. That's what I see. And again, so you're going to have this combination of inflation and also a slow economy. I think because of the inflation, that would be an important thing for gold. But I still look at gold, Tony, as a way to get outside of their system. You know, you can't really predict what's going to happen with inflation or these other things and how that's going to be timed. But you know that gold has got real value, and you know that it's going to give you an opportunity to get outside of this control grid called CBDC. And that's what I think is the most valuable thing about it.
Well, I agree with you on that. And going back to energy, the average consumer is being priced out of having cheap energy, mm-hmm. affordable energy on purpose. Yeah. You know, we talked about this before. You know, Biden, the entire plan is not to add infrastructure. It's not to add new drilling, new sources of energy, not energy independence. And again, they're just going and saying, well, we're going to release oil from the strategic reserve. And then not replace it. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And mm-hmm. but this is part of the Great Reset. You know, you have a complete agent of the Great Reset in the White House right now, which is Joe Biden, mm-hmm. and they're carrying that out. This is the technocracy takeover. They want to push everything to EV, and EV just means you're not going to go anywhere.
That's right.
That's the start of the Great Reset is the strangulation of the U.S. economy through energy, and that will drive up the price because of the supply. The demand is, I don't know if the demand is really increasing, David, but The supply is dwindling, and there's not as much exploration. There's not as much investment because what's the incentive? Mm-hmm. So you're seeing that cut off, and that's going to that. I think energy is what broke the 2008 bubble because I was running a gasoline station at the time. I mean, you know, we're doing about 250,000 gallons a month, and I would watch the price go up and up and up and up. And finally, you start seeing these gallons go down. The demand goes down, but by that time, people have spent their money. And they have to choose, you know, am I going to get to work or am I going to pay this mortgage payment? So you're going to see a lot of defaults across the board, which is going to, I think, going back to FTX and the crypto markets, it starts seeing these the stress on these regional banks, these smaller banks and lenders that causes the, crash. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you're going to be seeing. But, you know, going back to gold right now is a bargain. And I don't mind seeing the prices when they're in the red. To me, I think it's just an opportunity for you to get in and be able to afford gold finally. And I mean, it's only at a 6 month low, but still, when you've seen the damage done to the economy, it's still a massive bargain. And I think having physical gold, whether that be silver or gold itself, is always a way to be outside of the system. I know more and more people, just because I'm in the business, that are trading in it. Mm-hmm. You know, for just services, I do this all the time. What I know about metals, I'd much rather have gold coins in my pocket than cash any day, because I know how liquid gold is. I mean, I can always convert it. I know exactly what to do. And once you have that knowledge, you won't want cash either. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just to me, I can always get in and out of silver as fast as I want, or I can use it directly. So it's always a good option.
Yeah. And just like Menendez believed that as well. Yeah. You know? Except he had a bad mix. He had too much cash relative to gold, I think. Yeah, I guess it spread out all of his stash of cash and gold. And all of that is being used, of course. You know, look, anybody that has cash and gold, they're criminals like Menendez. You know, that's another way that they're trying to use
Yes.
You know, but he wanted the anonymity of having gold and cash. Unfortunately for him, he was also texting these people with foreign governments and using his wife as an intermediary. So that kind of aroused some suspicion and got him looking at that. But you're right about the housing bubble and the fact that they created this housing bubble. They did it with the low interest rates and with these securitized instruments that they came up with, the scams that they invented. But then the pin that burst that bubble was energy. And we've seen that over and over again, you know, and it is go back to the thing that made such an impression on me because, I was still in college, but I was about to start work when all this OPEC stuff started. And the thing that was the big issue with that was, it was a power play on the part of OPEC, just like this is all a power play in terms of energy on the part of Biden and the UN and the World Economic Forum and all these people who are trying to create a one Earth government through this global warming nonsense and all the rest of it. But it is a deliberate attack on us to try to extend their power. That's clearly what's going to happen. But it's going to have some big economic consequences. And it's been the number one priority of Biden from his first day in office. First thing he did, start to shut down pipelines and have other things off limit. But of course, they don't have any... they're not making any more refineries, so they're turning everything over to China and they're deliberately shutting this down for all of that. And all of it is targeting to have financial controls over us. And that's why I think that gold and silver are so important, is because it gets out of that control grid that they're trying to set up for people. That's a key thing. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, David, I think another aspect of the rising energy prices, it's kind of like a shadow bailout for the banks. And I say that because there's a hidden cost inside every time you go to the pump that most people never, ever talk about. And that's your credit card fees. Who eats those? Who pays those fees? So if you're talking about $3, $4 gasoline, that's 9 cents a gallon that's going to the bank. And the average gasoline retailer is only going to make about 4 cents, maybe, on a gallon of gasoline. So you've got all of these major banks and credit card retailers seeing the lion's share of the increase in energy prices. And that's, billions and billions and billions of dollars. And so the more that the gasoline goes up, the more that are going to go and flood into the coffers of these banks. And it's hidden. You don't see it. So in my opinion, these banks, the larger ones, are going to cheerlead rising higher energy prices at the pump, especially.
I agree. Yeah, it is interesting as people are looking at this and you look at the financial news and say, well, you know, we're going to have interest rates higher for longer. So that is, you know, something that people say, oh, let's get into the dollar and we'll get out of gold, that type of thing. So it depresses the price of gold for a short period of time. But at the same time, as you pointed out, China is going big into this. And it's not just the Chinese central bank, but it's also the Chinese public, because they're seeing this property crisis that's happening there. And that is a massive thing looming over the horizon here, commercial real estate. That's the one of the things that's blowing up the Chinese market, and it's certainly going to blow up the market here in America. Salenti has been talking about that for a long time, ever since the lockdown, you know, what it's going to do and people being reluctant to go back to work. That commercial real estate bubble bursting, and it's happening in kind of a slow motion way, but it's going to be coming here as well. That's a big part of what's happening in China in terms of people turning to it. And it always, it just underscores, as usual, I think, Tony, that, you know, people turn to gold when there's a big crisis and when these things that have been pumped up that don't have any real intrinsic value are shown for what they are, people run to the real stuff. And that's what's happening in China right now, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And you've got bubbles going on in China, and you've got the commercial real estate bubble, and I believe even a housing bubble here in the United States. And people are going to have a harder time finding a place to park value. And that's why gold's important. You've got gold has been money for 5,000 years plus throughout pretty much all of recorded history. It's never been zero. It's not ever going to be zero. So, you know, you have a stable money that you can hold. And again, am I telling you to go out and buy gold because it's going to go up, two or three times or whatever percentage is going to make you rich? I don't know. I just know where the dollar's going. And when you have inflated prices and assets everywhere that aren't real, whether you're talking about like paper stocks, you know, the stock market itself is a casino. You know, 80% have to lose, so 20% can win. That's probably generous. I get that from our friend Donald Jeffries. He wrote the book Survival of the Richest. And, you know, you look at the rich get richer, and they keep their assets and, you know, continue to inflate because of their access to the markets and to the Fed and you know, with ESG and all the rest of that. So you have these fake markets. So it is eventually you're going to have a crash in the housing market, a crash in the commercial real estate market. China's the people there, I mean, you look at you talked about the central bank and the people themselves buying physical gold. And because we're just going, this new era is about a revaluation of currencies. I mean, it's unsustainable. You know, I was talking with my mother yesterday, and she said, well, tell me the difference between, you know, was the economy really good under Trump? And I said, well, I would say it was a better economy because of you have to go back in time to because of the amount of money that's been printed or currency's been printed since then. But I told her about that's when we first started talking. We were talking about the repo markets. The first time I ever came on your show, we were talking about the repo markets, and even you and I, we were talking about, well, this is, you know, the Fed was taking what you would consider like the GDP of a small country every single month and pumping it into these overnights and the liquidity markets. But you and I didn't know the full extent. It was $6 trillion.
Yeah.
It's estimated $6 trillion that was completely made up. And, you know, I said, so this was all going on behind the scenes where you have this supposed Trump red hot economy, but you also had the largest exodus of CEOs in history in the last quarter of 2019, right before COVID-1984.
That's right.
So, you know, coincidence? I don't think any of that's a coincidence. So, you know, the COVID-19 and the scamdemic was a great cover for all the damage that's been done. The cover is off now. So I think we're floating way past the damage that's been done. So to me, I think you're going to see these little lulls happen. But these economists are out of their mind. Right? You know, from Harry's article on Zero Hedge, American people know. I see a change in my business. It's very fundamental change. You know, people selling me more. I'm seeing larger, items coming back into me where I'm buying them and cashing people out of the market instead of the other way around. So there's a lot more selling to me than purchases. And I'm sick because people need to raise cash because the economy's not healthy.
Yeah.
You know, this is a fact.
That's true. Yeah, it's interesting. I said before, you know, joked about Menendez, but there's actually an article on New York Post. Here's a headline, Tony. Costco sells out of 1 ounce gold bars as Bob Menendez faces federal probe over gold stash. So they tied it together as if that's what's driving demand. You know, people, oh, Menendez got gold bars, so we should go to Costco and get some. But they're even sold out, and their price is not nearly as good as yours is. And, you know, I people ought to deal with somebody that you know that's on our side, that's local, but or at least, you know, that you know is on, even if Tony is not local, you can deal with him by mail. But what I'm saying is that, you know, there is this, people are looking at this, and if they don't need to pull this out because they're suffering economically, they understand what is safe. They just may be going to the big box retailers rather than looking at people who are on their side, who've got a better price. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at Wise Wolf.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Costco, I'd learned that they got in the gold business a while ago, and some of the other major retailers. I think Walmart has some sort of ties to Apmex. You know, they just match some of the big boys. They have, you know, supply chains linked up with some of these big online retailers. That's one of the first things I do when somebody calls me is I show them my competitor's page.
Yeah.
I go, I'll take you here. This is what they're retailing for. I'm never threatened by, you know, any of the big box. They'll get into it, but eventually, you know, you can't buy gold at the paper spot price anywhere. Mm-hmm. I can't, as a dealer, you know, having access to the trading floor and all, you're still going to have to pay a premium somewhere. And I honestly, over the years, I've learned to really develop relationships with people when it comes to precious metals. In the future, that will matter a great deal. So yeah, you might be able to find some deals at Costco or some of these online deals. And I pay more power to, I have people call me and ask me all the time, is that real? And I'll look and say, yeah, that's real. You can go get that. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I really think that in the future, a gold dealer will be defined by the ability to get supply. And I promise you, Wise Wolf's been working on that for the last year and a half, because I saw this coming and I'm like, okay, we've got to have,
well, they know, don't,
several avenues.
They don't have it at Costco. You know, they can put some stuff up, right. And this is the other game you see people put up. It's like, well, you know, if we had it, it would be this price. And it's like, but you haven't got it. So they make it look like they've got a great price, but they don't even have it. And so that's the key thing, though, I think, is the relationship. And that's one of the reasons why you set up Wise Wolf. You set up the Wolf Pack so that people can have a relationship, not even with just you, but also with other people who are, you know, looking to invest in gold. And so I think that's the important thing. And that is the relationship that is there.
Well, that's true. And the difference between myself and Costco is that when you call me, if I don't have it in stock, you can lock in the price. You can lock in the trade. Mm-hmm. We can do mm-hmm. that. That's why we're different than just about any other gold company I know. You call me, I'll lock in that price and I'll get you your gold. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't have it in front of me, I'll source it and mm-hmm. the price is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And thanks for bringing up Wolfpack too, David. I know you got to go here pretty soon. I've got your interview coming up. I told your listeners last week I was going to do something for any David Knight listener that upgraded or joined Wolfpack, because we're trying to get as many members as we can before the end of the year, because I want to do some bigger buy-ins. And this is part of the power of Wolfpack, is everybody who contributes and joins, it makes sure that everybody gets a better price down the line, and we can source that. So I'm giving away, and I've talked to Kenzie, because we have a big inventory of constitutional silvers. That could be dimes, quarters, half dollars, and even silver dollars. I've got a big supply of that. So if you join Wolfpack or have joined, you're going to get some constitutional silver. If you join or upgrade, I'm going to give you free constitutional silver, but we're about to run us on the website. I'll have promo codes. And if you recommend someone, if you can help me track that, if you recommend a Wolfpack to a friend or family member, let me know. We can give David credit, and I will also send you constitutional silver. So we're going to run this most likely through into Veterans Day. Oh, we're going to and have a big push. I'm going to put a clock up on the website, and I'm talking about a big constitutional silver giveaway. So that's fractional silver to put in your safe and use it for bartering later. And silver is extremely cheap right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see an uptick, I think, in prices. I think when things reevaluate. So a big constitutional silver giveaway at Wolfpack. Always deals coming through Wolfpack as well. I mean, you're going to get a text or an email when we have flash sales. We just had a huge flash sale on 1/10 ounce American Eagles. Saved people about $30 or $40. per unit over what JM Bullion was doing.
Wow.
So go check us out. Go to davidknight.gold and click join Wolfpack and see what that's all about. We got a big giveaway going on.
That's great. Competitive prices, being able to lock in the prices, always having the ability to get stuff. That's always important, but also the community and the special deals. Thank you so much for doing that, Tony, and thank you for supporting the program. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Again, Tony Arterburn, you can get there at davidknight.gold. It'll take you to Tony's wisewolf.gold. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.